This is Dirt and Sprague.
9:15. Let's have a great day, everybody.
Cut the
with Andy Dirt Johnson.
I said that I wanted to have kids, and you said that you wanted me to have a vasectomy. What did I do? When you said that you might want to have kids, and I wasn't so sure, you had the vasectomy reversed. And then when you said you definitely didn't want to have kids, you had it reversed back.
And Brendan Sprague.
Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. You have no idea the physical toll the three vasectomies have on a person.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
They're not going to catch us. We're on a mission from God.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour of the program. Would have been right on time if Swag didn't have a 4-minute update. I don't know what that's about.
Shut up over there.
People need to quit getting hurt in the NFL, damn it.
That is a long list. Does it feel a little longer than usual this year? It's just like every week.
Yeah.
It does, man. It does. There's a lot of key guys banged up.
I don't know if this is my age showing. It probably is. But when I'm watching this, I'm almost always every play. Ooh, how'd he get up out of that one?
I didn't even have time for the Dodgers 9-0 shutout of the Braves.
Oh, nobody cares.
We split the series. Dude. Did you calm your panties down?
Nobody
Pacheco
cares.
Got hit on that play, and I went, oh, that looked bad. And he limped off, and I'm like, God, how is he limping? Well, he's got a broken leg.
People don't understand how
they're tough, insane.
How
they are just, absolutely
they're
insane.
They're not built like
there was
normal people.
One of those in the Civil War this weekend, too, where Jordan James ran into somebody on the sideline, one of your DBs. I can't remember who it was, but it was one of those collisions that you hear it and you're like, ooh.
Oh, yeah, on the when they hit each other.
Shoulder
yeah,
to shoulder,
dude,
head
I'm
to
like,
head.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Are they both alive right now? And they both just got up and walked back to the huddle. Crazy stat on health, by the way, in Philly last night. When they acquired A.J. Brown, drafted Devonta Smith, they have had 32 total games together going into last night. Before last night, 32 total games together. You know how many times Jalen Hurts has had to play in those 32 games without A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith in the lineup?
No.
Zero,
huh?
That was the first time since they acquired either of them that one of them has missed. Other than when they all sat, I think, in the last game 2-3 years ago when they had nothing to play for, so everybody sat out.
Hmm.
But in a game that Jalen Hurts has started, that's the first time he hasn't had both of his number one wide receivers.
I mean, it's just a yearly tradition. Largely, the team that wins is the team that either has Patrick Mahomes or somehow has the best health.
Crazy
I mean, that's
health,
just what it is.
Yep.
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program here. Are we ready for this in sports? I'll tell you what it is at 7:15-ish. But we start the second hour. Pac-12 expansion update. We talked a lot about the Civil War game, the Apple Cup, you know, recapping that stuff. The Pac-12 expansion reports have come out, and there's a couple pieces that have been written. Here was Bruce Feldman. He was on game day, the big nooner. The big noon.
He's getting his nooner on.
He's getting his nooner on over at Fox Sports. Here was Feldman on schools potentially joining the Pac-12 next.
Sources tell me that the Pac-12 has some interest in Tulane and Memphis from the AAC. There's a bunch of other schools that they're also considering. Keep in mind, this is not going to be an automatic bid into the CFP. So we'll see how much interest comes on the other side of this as the league reforms itself. As for UNLV, that's a program that seems to make a lot of sense in terms of it's a big market, it's very travel accessible, and that football program under Barry Odom has really improved. But the rub with UNLV is they would have to probably take Nevada too, since it's the same school board, and that issue may make it a deterrent there. One other wild card in this is all the instability around the ACC with Florida State and Clemson and all the saber rattling that's been going on with court cases around there. If something happens with the ACC where it gets destabilized, all bets could be off here.
So there's Bruce Feldman over the weekend on the Pac-12. There's noise that it could be Memphis, Tulane. Obviously, you just heard that, and many people have echoed that sentiment. USF is a sneaky team in this conversation. And then also, I've seen some saying maybe UTSA as well. Now, Barnes said they want 9, so that'd be what? 3.
You're at 6
more.
Right now, so you need to add 3 more teams.
So those are teams.
Ideally,
that could be
I think
this.
They'd love to have Memphis and Tulane. I think those are good markets to get into. They're close enough so that for the other sports, you could have travel partners. So soccer, volleyball, basketball.
Yes.
If they go on the road, they can pick up 2 games with essentially 1 trip. And then if they can extract UNLV from Nevada, if they can find a way to do that, those 9 would be really good.
That seems difficult. Dennis Dodd wrote a piece on this, like the TV deals. Everybody he's talked to, the TV deal for that conference, even with those teams, wouldn't really be a whole lot more than what the Mountain West is currently making. So you'd have to be talking about, is Nevada going to get the Cal-UCLA thing where they get a chunk of money? Then is that worth it for UNLV? Maybe it is.
To leave them behind, yeah.
To leave them behind. But that's kind of the rub with UNLV, is everybody has mentioned UNLV, and it seems logical. Barry Odom has that thing humming right now. But if Nevada's attached, who knows how likely that is. But Tulane and Memphis are the loudest to be the next members of the Pac-6.
It's interesting timing, too, because a lot of these teams that you're discussing and talking about have done noteworthy things recently. And so you kind of have a moment here where you can capture some attention. If you had to, let's say this happened 5 years ago when you go get Memphis. What was Memphis football doing 5 years ago? I couldn't tell you. Mike Norvell might have been their head coach still. I don't know what he
left. Dan Lanning? Was Dan Lanning still there?
Might have still been there. I think he was at Alabama at that point, but he at one point was at Memphis. So there wasn't much discussion about them. Who's currently ranked in the top 25?
Memphis. I actually don't know who's in the top 25.
Well, Memphis is. Memphis is in the back end of the top 25. All UNLV, right. Who, again, maybe not likely because of the Nevada problem, they're ranked for the first time in the history of their program.
They look really good.
Never been ranked in the top 25, and they snuck in the back end at number 25. And Tulane is a team who, what was it, 2 years ago that they beat USC in the Cotton Bowl? They played Caleb Williams?
Yeah, it was Caleb. It was the year they lost in the Pac-12 title game.
That's right.
They went and played in
So 2 years ago, you were in a New Year's Six game, and you won it. And so all of these teams have done something recently that has gotten them attention or discussion around the entire sport. And so that's what's unique about it. I saw this weekend, and I personally got excited. I know it's not exactly what an Oregon State fan wants, but my main thing has been you have to do whatever you can to avoid this simply being Mountain West 2.0. Like, we're just putting a spin on it. It's going to be Mountain West teams with Oregon State and Washington State, and we're going to call it the Pac-12 and act like nothing, everything's different when we all know that it's not.
You don't think people would view that and just say it's the Mountain West with Tulane and Memphis?
I think there's still going to be some of that, but only four of the teams in your conference would be Mountain West teams. Tulane, again, just won a New Year's Six bowl game. Memphis is ranked in the top 25, and you would have a coast-to-coast appeal with interesting cities that you could go with big media markets down in the Louisiana area and in Memphis. If you add a UTSA, I think that would be ideal. Then you would have Texas, Louisiana, Tennessee. You get three southern states who all care about football. The fan bases seem to be engaged with what those teams are doing. To me, that's much better and more interesting for the general college football fan than it is saying, okay, you know what, we're worried about travel or worried about those are too far away or we can't buy them out, so we're just going to add Air Force. You know, who else didn't you get? New Mexico and Nevada, and we'll call it a day, and that's our conference.
Well, and the other part of that is, too, it's what's going to happen in the ACC. That's continued to be the biggest noise for Oregon State, Washington State with this conference realignment future stuff is just, does the conference completely crumble? Do you kind of form a mega conference with them if they lose?
Yeah, merge.
Florida State, Clemson. The biggest wild card, I think, in the ACC, I know locally it's for everybody. It's like Cal, Stanford, we got to get them back. Okay. That doesn't do a whole lot for me personally. I don't think they're very good programs. Stanford has been terrible for a while now. What does Miami do? Clemson and Florida State, you've heard the noise on the Big 12. Does the Big 12 also say to keep things in a pocket for our Midwestern teams, let's throw Miami a bone as well? Because the Big Ten and the SEC, reportedly, the SEC has no interest in Miami. They have Florida already.
Yep.
They don't want to do that. The Big Ten doesn't seem particularly keen on bringing in the Hurricanes. I don't know what would happen to Miami there. Could you convince Miami to be the lead dog of the ACC Pac-12? There's so much uncertainty with all of this stuff.
There is.
That some of it's just really
hard to
project.
Well, if the ACC dissolves, what happens with Notre Dame's... Their football is going to be independent, but what happens with all their other sports?
Well, but it doesn't dissolve.
I don't think the ACC is going to dissolve. They've got
dissolving.
Too many teams.
The Mountain West has not dissolved. They just lost their biggest four
members. No, I understand
members.
That, but if the ACC loses or gets massively reconfigured, is there a clause in the deal with Notre Dame that allows them to get out?
I'm sure there probably is for them, yeah. And maybe they just do their independent thing fully and just schedule 12 games, or maybe they go join the Big Ten, which is where they should have always been in
yes.
the first place.
Well, the pseudo Big Ten. I don't think they're ever going to join a conference.
Yeah, and they probably won't. We'll see if they get pissed off about not being able to get a first-round bye in the college football playoff as the years go on. They got to get there first, but that's neither here nor there. The funny part about this, too, is whenever we talk conference realignment, like what the Big 12 desperately needs is a national championship contender. They don't have that. They have good programs. Oklahoma State's been good. Utah's been good, right? Go down the list. There's good teams in that conference. Is anybody putting any money on anybody from the Big 12 to win a national championship this year? Is there a threat from that conference to go on a run and win a national title? Likely not. Now, things can change, but likely not.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you there. I tend to agree with the theory. How many teams in the Big Ten and the SEC are you legitimately thinking are going to win the national championship?
Well, Michigan just won one last year.
Okay, but I'm talking about this year.
Sure. My larger point, though, is that we are so caught in the moment with these discussions that you never know what program you're getting. So the Big Ten just went out and added a team that played for a national championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
Washington was in the national title.
Yeah. We'll get to Jed Fish later, by the way.
How long until Washington is in a national title again?
Would you take
the over-under of 5.5 years, right?
I
don't know.
Over.
I don't know how long he's going to be there. I don't know where the program's going to be in 2 years.
Yes.
So that's the funny part about all these moves that you mentioned Miami or Florida State a year ago. You would have said, this is great. We got an undefeated team. How do you feel about taking Florida State right now?
Miami will... Cristobal doesn't seem like he's leaving for anything else.
No, he does not.
That seems like his lifelong job,
and he's built a ton of talent there. It seems like they're the best bet to be potentially a national title contender in the short term, but then you're giving a lot of faith to Mario Cristobal. That's just the funny thing to me about conference realignment is that we're caught in the moment of what is this team right now.
Yes.
Like, Kalen DeBoer had a huge hand in Washington turning down that TV deal and going to the Big Ten last year. He said, no, we can't be streaming only. And then 6 months later, the dude bolts and he's not even there anymore. And so you can't be caught in the moment when you make the decision. You have to think of the bigger picture and what programs can be.
Ultimately, in the now, just Tulane, Memphis, or do we get a third team the way Barnes has said they want 9? Who are the third? Who is your prediction for a third team? Is it UTSA?
That would be my dream.
Or is it UNLV?
If it's a quick decision, if they want to do something before this college football season is over, then probably UTSA. If UNLV is indicating to them through back channels that, hey, there's a way to do this, but we have to navigate some politics, it might take a little bit, then maybe you let them see how far they can get down the road and you say, okay, but we got to know by January 1st or March 1st if you think you can pull it off or not.
My dream would be Memphis, Tulane, and UTSA. And then wait to figure out what you have with UNLV. And if they want to add, then you rename it the Pac-10 and you got 10 teams.
It'll be interesting to keep following this, but the update was Tulane, Memphis are the obvious two. Barnes told Daschle in the Oregonian that they want 9 for conference game scheduling purposes because they want 8 conference games because they want 4 non-conference games. They obviously want to make money playing some of these, you know, power 3-4 opponents on the road and whatnot. So we'll have to wait and see, but the noise right now for the Pac-12 expansion is Tulane and Memphis for now. Maybe a third team will be thrown in there as well. Are we ready for this in sports? I don't know if we are. Next on The Fan. Dirt told me during the break that Bengals Chiefs delivered 28 million viewers for their Sunday afternoon game.
That's just absurd, man. It's absurd. It's the most watched September NFL game, I believe, since 1998 is what it said.
That's absolutely nuts, and it lends itself to this segment. By the way, we got a Mail Sack Tuesday. The Mail Sack, we spell that differently when we tweet it out because Dirt likes doing the teenage humor of it, and I don't want to offend people, so, like, you know, principal over here.
I mean, if you're following us on Twitter, listen on a Tuesday, and you'll know exactly what the Mail Sack is.
Well,
you'll get
I liked
it.
That person responding with, what
like, is it?
Hey, maybe we got a new person in the Mail Sack.
You new to the program? Welcome to the program.
Mail Sack is really Reddit AMA. It's ask us anything. Anything is welcome at the Mail Sack. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at VancouverFord.com at 8:15 every Tuesday. We dive into all the questions. Any question you want to ask us, we will answer. And that's what the Mail Sack is. We will get to Jed Fish blaming the players. You know, if we just execute the plays right, maybe they'd work.
It's not my fault,
man. Not my fault. What are you looking at me for?
Quit pointing the finger at me, man. I'm not the head coach.
He is not in the top 5 odds to be Florida's next coach, by the way.
He's not.
The guy I think they're going to poach is in the top 5.
Ooh.
And he was walking with a robot dog this weekend.
I have not seen those odds. I'm curious where they're at.
We'll get to some of that. I mentioned the 28 million viewers. The NFL is having ratings records this season a couple weeks in. Like, more people are watching games this year than they have almost in 20-plus years.
Yeah, the Monday night Niners-Jets opener was massive. Big numbers.
And so I ask, are you ready for Blazer Media Day in 2 weeks? And are you ready for Major League Baseball playoffs in 2 weeks?
I mean, that I'm down with because it's going to give me something to fill in the cracks. That's the hardest part about football season is that I have voids in my life.
You are ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Who are the three wildcard teams in the AL and the NL? Because I had to double check this morning personally.
In the American League, I want to say Baltimore.
Yes.
Yes.
Kansas City.
Kansas.
I'm not asking you. Oh. Shut up.
Shut up.
You're a nerd who watches every baseball game somehow along with Korean volleyball.
I haven't watched a baseball game in a month probably.
Exact. That's why I asked him. You just watched a game yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. I had the dual screens going.
Minnesota, I think. Is Minnesota in there?
Your confidence, yeah, you're there.
They are in there.
They're holding.
And Kansas City, right?
Kansas City is in.
That one's cheating. Swag said it.
Kansas City is the second one.
And Detroit, I think, is the next one out, right?
Detroit is a game and a half out, and then the next one out is
the mighty Seattle Mariners.
Oh, someone break up the 7-3 Mariners.
I'm shaking in my boots. I'm shaking in my boots.
Can you name the three NL teams?
A little more challenging. I know the Mets are in there because you mentioned they jumped your Braves.
Yeah, we're trailing by a game.
Who else? Padres, probably.
Correctamundo.
And the Diamondbacks?
Yes.
Is it all NL West?
Yes.
Look at that. Baseball, come on.
You.
Easy, back of
my hand.
You
don't even watch it, you know.
There's nights like tonight where there's a void in my life. Like, what am I going to watch tonight? What's going on tonight?
I'll Mariners, go do family Yankees, things.
I'm not watching 640? That. I don't care. I don't care. It's not a playoff
Yeel
game.
I don't have root.
I don't care. I don't have root either.
I got
don't
off
care.
The root.
You give me a playoff game? You give me a wild card game on a Tuesday at 11 a.m.?
Twins and Guardians are going at 3:40.
Wake me up in the playoffs.
Go Beavs.
Wake me up in the playoffs. Start. That I will be excited for. Playoff baseball does it. No, the playoff baseball.
Okay.
We'll watch the Beavs this weekend, but playoff baseball.
Do you think you're going to watch all the playoff baseball or no?
Is there a game on at the same time as a Monday Night Football game? And the answer is no.
There almost certainly will be, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'll check the score. I'll flip over on my phone, but I'm not turning football
he's
off.
He's
going to
dual screen it like a six on
he
a
will. He's a dirty bird over there.
He's a dirty bird.
We know what he's got cooking.
Look at those feathers flapping. Look at him. Oh, yeah. He knows. He's into the weird kinky stuff.
To answer your original question, no, I'm not ready for Blazer Media Day.
Blazer Media Day is here in like 11 days.
We're not going to do Blazer Media Day segments, are we?
Pilots Media Day is tomorrow.
What? Okay, we're not doing
Who
a segment
goes
on that.
To that? Just you?
That would be me.
Is there anybody else that goes?
No, I think so it's more internal. So
day? Swag Day,
exactly.
Swag gets to come.
Nah, they take all the
it's
all the team
over.
Photos.
Here's the situation.
I'm really excited for the year. Got a lot of questions for you,
Swag. You should take a selfie, but like an above selfie where it's like, "Hey, here for Media Day," and it's you and everybody, and it's just you.
It's an empty room. Yeah. Me with all the media members.
I get to meet with all the players just for like background, especially. Especially since I got some transfers, fair amount of freshmen.
Sure.
So.
Did you really call it Media Day and then say you can be the only one there?
I don't know.
You're an employee. Doesn't count.
They're doing their photo day.
Oh.
I think it is Media Day. I have to look at the email.
Yeah, what are they labeling it? Media Day?
I think I can only name one Oregon State basketball player right now. They're
like,
all international.
Look, you tell me the Blazers are playing games.
It is Media Day detail.
All right, I don't want to talk about the Pilots anymore. Go. If you tell me the Blazers are playing games, I'll watch. Okay,
you're not watching preseason Blazer.
Not
basketball.
Preseason basketball. No, regular season games. Like, hey, what does Scoot look like? Yeah. How does Shade like that? I'm interested in that. I will watch.
October
how does Klingon play?
23rd.
All for it. You get like Media Day segments for the love of
the
God. No.
Dubs in Moda Center to open the season.
Rip City Reddit is on to dirt. They have said in tuning into this program.
Yeah, they're on me.
That my co-host is a fair weather Blazer fan.
Yep.
I mean, I'm a realist, not a fair weather fan. You're like this sums up the opening segment that we did today. Duop Reith is untouchable on the trade market. He's got too much value. Like, that's you. You're the problem. I'm not the problem. Stop pointing the finger at me.
Why are you telling me I said that? I didn't say that.
For the love of God, can we not do Media Day sec? Like, what are they going to say? Chauncey's here, but he's going to be the head coach for one more year, and then he's going to get fired. We're going to try and push for a playoff spot this year.
They are going to sell us on this, right?
What are we doing? Like,
which is weird. They got a TV thing still to announce.
Yeah, when are we going to find out what channel
they're
going to?
I thought we were supposed to find out about that about a month ago.
Yeah. The season starts in like a month.
I don't know.
What channel are they going to play on?
It's like I'm handling the negotiations.
Yes, figure this out. Close the deal.
Dwayne Hankins
yes,
here?
You are. You work for the team.
What am I, Joe Cronin?
Lock this thing up, Sprague. Season's almost here, damn it.
I thought you were inside the Crone Zone.
I thought you were in the Crone Zone.
I am in the Crone Zone. Let me text Burt Cold.
Yeah, text Burt.
He followed me on Twitter a while
hey,
back.
Burt. Can I rub your back? Rubber ducky.
media day with the only you showing up. That was ridiculous.
What's happening right now? It's football season, you idiot.
It is football season. And the reason I'm asking all this is
God.
If my baseball team gets eliminated, yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm just being upfront and honest. Yeah. I don't know how much playoff baseball I'm going to really consume. I have a hard enough time caring about any non-Atlanta Braves stuff. I might watch a little of the Mariners stuff because it's a little more localized.
If they're in the playoffs, you
but
don't
if
get the
they
channel,
miss they and the Braves miss,
right?
I might be having swag say, "Man, what a game!" And I'm going to go, "What are you talking about?
What happened here?"
And I love basketball. It seems crazy to me right now, sitting here going, "We could have games." In a month.
The season starts in a month.
That's
why. The first NHL preseason games are this weekend.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You know,
the Kraken's first preseason game is this Sunday.
You know who does sports right? The Pittsburgh Penguins.
I saw that yesterday. That was
they
cool.
They still deliver the season tickets to their season ticket holders with, like, Sidney Crosby delivering the tickets to
That's
their front door.
Awesome.
I wish there was... Sports needed to be more of that.
Connection.
That's what's special. Yeah. You know what sports is now? Hey, Tennessee Volunteer football fans, 10% fee on your ticket for student athlete NIL.
We're going to pay our players. Yeah. We're going to charge you 10% extra
10%
on your tickets.
10% more for the tickets we already overcharged
Even
you
though,
for.
What does that SEC TV deal bring in every year?
Like almost $100 million.
You can't afford
year.
To pay your guys. We need the fans to pay for.
Josh Heupel needs a raise.
The Arkansas. Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yes. He's not making
pay him
up.
$12.5 million.
9.4 ain't enough, damn it. He's undefeated.
Stadium.
The blue hairs on the west side. Here's what I will say.
How are we supposed to remain competitive?
Oh, about the baseball. Playoffs, they desperately need interesting matchups.
I think they need the Yankees, and they need Shohei
they
just to pitch.
They need a Yankees-Dodgers World Series.
So we need a non-Rangers-Diamondbacks World Series. Yeah, offense to the Rangers or Diamondbacks. We just give me something to get excited about. I think the NBA and baseball are in the same spot. If you get interesting matchups in the conference finals and finals, people will watch, people will want to talk about it. If I fast forward and I give you a Kansas City Royals Minnesota Twins ALCS.
Bye bye.
There will be crickets. If I give you a Diamondbacks versus who would be the most irrelevant
you
team in the
You have the Royals league. In the playoffs. I'm not interested.
Right. I mean, it's just.
But they got Bobby Witt Jr. Spray.
He's really good.
All right. That's cool.
You need
Diamondbacks
good matchups.
Brewers.
Diamondbacks Brewers. Oh. There you go. That's your NLCS matchup.
Could you imagine?
I mean, Caitlin Clark games are going to beat you, buddy. Like, that's not good.
I'll be watching those.
No,
Clark
you need
games.
Dodgers Phillies in the NLCS.
Yep.
And you need Yankees,
Orioles, probably the best you can do in the AL.
Yeah, whoever's the wild card.
What was the little kid?
There.
Jeffrey Dahmer? No, what was that kid's name?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Wrong. What was that little kid's name?
Yeah, let's just call him. Let's go with Jeffrey Dahmer.
The kid that was eating baseballs
yes,
out of the
Jeffrey
glove of the Orioles.
He basically murdered the Baltimore Orioles and ate them, so I think that counts.
Little Jeffrey Dahmer out there stealing baseballs in the short porch. I forgot the kid's name, so I just call him.
A couple of Jeffreys in New York in the 90s, you know? What are you going to do?
You know, to many O's fans, he might as well be Jeffrey Dahmer.
I think he was.
He ruined their franchise.
He was to them, man.
And in the same sense that happened.
He'd lock his door with his baseballs the second he got him in his apartment.
I want to read this very quickly. We got the mail sack at 8:15. We'll get to Jed Fish blaming his players. This from Scottie Pippen, 6-time NBA champion, Olympic gold medalist, and NBA Hall of Famer.
You're never too old to learn.
As you get older, you realize $30,000 watch and a $30 watch both tell the same time. A Gucci wallet and a Target wallet hold the same amount of money, and a $10 million house and a $100,000 house home host the same loneliness. A Ford will also drive you as far as a Bentley.
That's really depressing.
Stay humble. The holes dug for us in the ground are all the same size.
Scotty's doing good.
Have you seen him?
Things are going good with Scotty.
He looks like somebody you go, oh, you're either on the internet too much or you have an alcohol problem.
Or, you know, his ex-wife dated the son of his teammate that he's most connected with, and that was very embarrassing. And she also slept with Malik Beasley, who played on the same NBA team as Scottie Pippen's son. So, you know.
Should we retire his jersey in Portland?
Let's do it, dude. Scottie Pippen being a Blazer was a thing. That was so cool.
He showed up for the Western Conference Finals when we played the Warriors. Dude, he was here supporting us.
That's one of the coolest memories of my Blazers. That's so sad. That is one of the coolest memories of my Blazers. Like, the day we acquired Scottie Pippen, that was such a big deal.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't know what that was, but we're not ready for any of it, I don't think.
Is Jeffrey Dahmer going to be in the Bronx this year in the playoff games? Is he going to show up?
He's coming to Pilots Media Day.
He's going to be there with swag.
Hope you got lunch ready.
Can we please do it? Can you take a picture of Media Day? I just like, can we get like a panorama view? I just want to see what's going on there.
We're all ready.
We're here.
Go
swag.
Pilots!
Me and Brian Slyke. That's pretty much it.
Here's
the situation.
We got a lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
All right, P1 Harley's in with a Go Falcons.
There you go.
Shout out to the Dirty Birds last night. I actually did find myself.
Can you still do the Dirty Bird dance?
No, I don't think I can.
I still know it. Bates and the defense did it in the end zone after that game-clinching
interception.
Yeah, they all ran down to the end zone and were doing the Dirty Bird.
They crushed my spirit in 1998, Childhood Sprague with Garrison Hurst.
They would have won.
But I
Garrison
still
Hurst
know that
go
dance.
Down. Yeah.
It's not hard.
No, I just haven't seen it in a while.
Up, down, over. Up, down, over. Flap your wings.
All right. YouTube just got a show right there.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah.
I did find myself a little offended on the behalf of Atlanta Falcons fans last night. One random note. We got a short segment here, so I'm going to do this here, and then we'll get to It's Not My Fault or It Wasn't Me from Shaggy in a moment. So on the Manning cast, you were watching the Manning cast. I didn't. I just saw the clips of it. But they had Bill Belichick on in the second quarter, I believe. So they start the game with Belichick.
First guest.
One of the big talking points for the entire first quarter was the comeback win in the Super Bowl. So if I'm a Falcons fan and I'm watching that, I'm just like, all right.
Yeah, Bill.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, Bill does the whole, like, it's always great to get a Gatorade bath, but then he did the proverbial, you know, Matt Ryan threw one of the greatest balls I've ever seen in my life to Julio in that game, and you know, just great coaching staff helped us come back. Like, he did the whole humble,
yeah,
it's everybody else that did it.
Let's try and build them up a little bit. Like, all right, I'm turning the game on Monday Night Football. It's not even a Falcons-Patriots game. It's a Falcons-Eagles game, yet I'm having to relive the worst moment of my sports fandom over and over again, so thanks for that. Okay, fine. I don't want to watch the Manning cast. Let me flip over to the ESPN telecast with Buck and Aikman. Who do they have in the booth for an entire quarter? Jason Kelce. Look, I like Jason Kelce. He's a hilarious dude. He's awesome on television. His podcast is exploding. He also tore a Philly fan's ACL yesterday. Go watch that video if you haven't seen it.
A nice reminder of, oh, they're different physically. That Philly fan was not tiny. He was very fat and not short. And he chest bumped Jason Kelce and tore his ACL.
Landed and just immediately grabbed his leg.
Like, did you see Kelce dancing, by the way?
I did. Good moves.
I mean, I think it's a reminder, like, oh, yeah, even the big boys up front,
super athletic. Does a lot of yoga. He's very flexible.
Yes.
Why is he in the booth for a quarter of Monday Night Football?
Because ESPN just signed him. And it's the Eagles.
Exactly.
What's the problem?
I was watching that thinking, this
who
is
the Falcons. You want Chris Chandler?
I don't want anybody in the booth.
Roddy White?
You're spending $50 million on Buck and Aikman to call the game. Why am I getting an interview of Jason Kelce in the third quarter?
Because they just signed him to
ESPN.
Who
cares? He's on all their shows. Why do I need him on the game?
They needed some Jason Kelce at that
point
of the game.
When was the last time they had somebody in the booth for an entire quarter on Monday Night Football?
Probably when Tessitore was on it. They always randomly would have a guest.
Well, that's because the broadcast sucked, and they needed to, because Booger McFarland was on the call.
Well, he was on the mobile.
He was down there scooting around on the field. If I were a Falcons fan tuning into that, I would have been livid last night.
Really?
I would have been livid. Imagine on Fox on Saturday, they invited into the Civil War booth, who's a duck you can invite in, Marcus Mariota on the call for the entire third quarter. How would Beaver fans have felt? Let's bring Mariota in. Let's talk to Mariota for a quarter and do an interview.
I think Beaver fans actually like Mariota.
Didn't Joey call an Oregon State game for Fox once upon a time? Like,
now, if Jordan Kent was on the call, then you might have some issues.
Look, play-by-play guys are different. They invited him into the booth, and I've never seen ESPN do that. And if I were a Falcons fan, that's just over-the-top ridiculous.
First of all,
he's on every ESPN show. He's on the Monday Night Countdown show.
Yeah.
He's on my TV the entire time leading up to the game. He's going to be in the post-game reaction to
he's
the game.
He's in all the commercials.
He's in all the commercials.
You,
like, I get it. Jason Kelce's
like
awesome.
Kelce.
He's awesome. Jason Kelce's great.
You don't like him.
I just think that's ridiculous. Keep track of this, how many times they have somebody in the booth on Monday Night Football. For an entire quarter.
Well, but like,
that was way over the top for me.
Okay, but how?
That was an Eagles home broadcast.
This is a very weird complaint for you. One, that game was awful. I don't know what the broadcast matters. Game sucked. How many times are they going to have a former player that they just signed to a very massive contract in town for the team he just retired from.
I mean, he was all over their broadcast of the game.
Right.
Pre-game
but
leading
like
up
going
to
going forward, how often is that happening?
Probably not very often.
So they may not have another person in the booth the rest of the season. The point was they're in Philly. It's their first Monday night game of the year. Jason just retired.
Hey, did you know that he retired?
He didn't.
Hey, did you know that he retired? Do you know he's working in media now? Do you know he has a podcast?
Why do you hate
Do you know
Jason
that Jason Kelce?
Kelce
has a podcast?
I didn't know
do you know that?
Jason Kelce.
I actually
I find
love
Jason more likable than Travis.
I actually love Jason Kelce. I think he's great. His podcast is awesome. He's entertaining. That rubbed me the wrong way last night. It really did.
You're not even a Falcon fan.
No, I'm not. I want P1 Harley to back me up here. It felt so tilted in one side. It felt so tilted towards Philadelphia last
Everything
night.
Is tilted in the media to one side. You see the Cowboy coverage? They lost by 20
and what do we
plus
do?
At home.
We complain about it constantly. It's ridiculous.
I haven't brought it up.
I would bring it up. It's dumb. The whole talking point is on Dallas today.
Man, the Saints. Real deal Holyfield, man.
Look, you can tell me I'm getting off my lawn. I love Jason Kelce. That to me was too far last night. I thought it was dumb.
Matt Ryan was on the Manning cast.
They have guests on the Manning cast. Have Jason Kelce. That's the whole point of the Manning cast, is to interview people during the game.
Why am I being yelled
Somebody
at?
Somebody needs
now?
A
I know.
Out.
I didn't know you got so mad about this.
Was Teddy Ballgame up all night?
He actually slept through the night last night. You're spending $40 million on my favorite broadcast crew in the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not. I'm saying ESPN is.
Yes.
I think Buck and Aikman are the best broadcasting crew in football.
Okay.
I think they're awesome. I want to listen to them call a game if I'm watching the game. I don't need them to interview somebody. That doesn't happen on nationally televised games.
How long was he on for?
He was on an entire quarter.
The entire quarter.
You weren't watching. I was. It was the entire quarter. Exactly. Because you wanted to see guests. And if you want guests, you go to the Manning cast to watch the guests.
Kelce was good enough where he didn't.
Did he step all over him?
No, he didn't. He laid out quite a bit, actually. He didn't get in. He was very
conscious. Did he give you some good stuff on the Eagles?
Some stuff here. There was a lot about the tush push going on.
In a graphic forum, talking tush push.
Yeah. My guess is I felt like Kelce was a little. He started to reckon. He's like, okay, this is a little too much of me, even for me. But
what if they do a 3-man booth?
No.
Because that works great in Monday Night Football history.
I mean, they had some solid
Well, they had
years
it.
With
when
it.
They had Cosell and Dandy Don and Gifford, it worked.
Yep, and then they went Michaels, Gifford, and Deerdorf. They had some
That
had
was
some
okay.
Years.
Dennis Miller, bring him back.
They might have been ahead of their time with the Dennis Miller thing. It just didn't work in the moment.
Yeah. Look, I'm just saying, to my Atlanta Falcons fans out there, I see you and I feel you. And that was ridiculous last night.
All 20 of them are with you.
All 20 of those Falcons fans. We're Dirty Burden today with
Did
a 1-1
Did you see their
start.
First home game? Because that was a Steeler home game.
I don't think they have many fans down there. That's their problem. But I digress. Get them out of my boot, damn it. Hey, it's not my fault. Next on the fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver. Online, crunch.com. You know, usually when a team loses, the head coach comes out and says, hey, I got to be better. This is on me. I got to be better. Whether it's right, wrong, whether the players deserve to be thrown under the bus or not, that's usually the way losses are handled from head coaches in football. Well, there was a game on Saturday that we talked a lot about yesterday. Washington lost the Apple Cup, and Jed Fish at the end of the game called a timeout, came out of the timeout, and called a speed option to the short side of the field, which they did not convert. The Cougs get the win, and then committed some penalties after that as well. So everybody's been kind of waiting to hear, like, all right, a couple of days pass. This isn't a post-game thing anymore. You watch the film. You've had some time to digest. What the hell were you thinking calling speed option to the short side of the field on fourth down? And Jed Fish said, ain't my fault.
You know, we had a chance. We didn't execute the play. Told the team last year it was 4th-and-1 with a minute 15 left on the minus 29 and the 11-0 Washington team against the 5-6 Washington State team. And they converted a reverse. A year later, it's 4th-and-1 with a minute 12 with a 24-19 game. And we don't convert on an option play. That happens. If the reverse doesn't convert, Washington State wins last year 24-21. So in our case, the option play didn't convert, and we didn't execute the play. And if we executed the play, it would have converted.
We just didn't execute the play. And hey, don't forget, Kalen DeBoer almost lost to Washington State, too, and needed to call a trick play on fourth down to ice the game.
Yeah. He's not wrong, I guess, in the sense of like they didn't execute the play. We know. We watched.
We saw
it. We asked you the question. I find it a very odd thing to be pointing to last year's team. Did they need a reverse with Rome to convert and win? Sure. They won, though, and they went undefeated till they lost to Michigan in the, let me check the note, national championship game.
Yes, they did.
You just lost your third game in your third game of the year. Like, what are you comping the undefeated Husky regular season team that won the conference, by the way? Why are you doing that? He is an interesting dude in the sense of, like, when they hired him, I think the general feel was, yeah, okay. Like, pretty good hire. Look at the landscape of coaches. You took him from Arizona.
They turned Arizona around.
T-Mac and Fifita made everybody happy. They had a resurgence last year, and they came into this season with some hype and some expectation, and he certainly recruited Arizona better than Sumlin. But he largely doesn't have a resume to point to that says, like, I stay here long-term and I win. It was all trajectory things. And I'm not saying they can't still be 6-6 or 7-5 or hell, maybe even 8-4. I don't know.
They got Northwestern at home this week. Imagine that's a game you should win.
But like, this is a concerning answer. It's a bad moment. I hope he comes back at some point and says, let me clarify. It is on us as coaches to call the right plays to put our guys in the best position. Will Rogers did an interview on KJR yesterday afternoon, coincidentally. And I thought it was interesting. One, how they just used Will Rogers. He was having a good day, and then they yank him, and they put in this freshman kid because he's mobile.
I think it's Damon Williams.
Damon Williams. And they kept playing that back-and-forth thing, and I just didn't understand why they were doing that. He was asked on KJR about checkouts. He said, if the coverage showed something defensively, did you have an ability to check out of the play and call something different? And Will Rogers said no. They didn't give him that, that it was only going to be a short-sighted option play on that side, and that was it. And I'm like, Will Rogers is really experienced college quarterback that has years under his belt to the point where if you need to give him something to audible out.
Doesn't like the numbers, doesn't like the look, let me give another play call.
And so, you know, he didn't throw a fish under the bus. He did say, we need to execute this as players, so I like the accountability there from him. But I found it odd that like that quarterback wasn't given the ability to call out of the play if the look wasn't right. It's just not a good look for Fish, especially when people make all the jokes that he's leaving for Florida. He's not in the top five odds to be Florida's next coach. My guy Eli Drinkwitz is, which I still think that's going to be the dude. The Liberty coach is the number one odds, which is like, dude, people in Florida will not handle that well.
Got Billy Napier from, was he like Louisiana, Lafayette or something?
That will not sit well with people if you go Liberty. But bad answer from Jed Fish there. Just own it and move on. Bad call. We'll do better. Give Washington State their credit. Move on.
I mean, whether it's right or wrong, I think as a head coach, your philosophy has to be the Harry Truman philosophy of the buck stops here. Like, whether it's the player's fault, like I called the right play and they weren't in the right position, or I said, hey, look out for this, and then they totally ignored what I said. At the end of the day, you're the boss, and it falls back on you. Again, whether that's fair or not, that's the way that this stuff works. You shouldn't take all the credit when you win. You shouldn't have to take all the, or, you know, you should take some of the blame when you lose. You give the credit to the players when you win. To come out and say, to try and point and deflect to other moments of the last couple of years, I thought was a really bad look of saying, well, they've almost lost to Washington State in years past. They've needed fourth downs in years past. So he's basically trying to just, you know, hey, I'm right where Kalen DeBoer was. Kalen DeBoer almost lost to them. Look, we almost lost, or we did lose to them, but we almost won. So we're one in the same, right? This is all, I don't like that thought.
He makes DeBoer look smart, too. He's like, well, they needed this. Yeah, and they chose the right play.
And they chose the right play, and it worked. And they gained 40 yards on the play, and it iced the game. That's the reason they ended up, in, you know, going undefeated in the regular season. So I thought that they also asked, the media did yesterday on the Williams front, of like, why the hell are you playing this guy in weird spots? It's throwing out the rhythm of your offense. And he got defensive about that, too.
Of course he did.
And he said, well, we're averaging 9 yards a rushing play when he's in the game, and he's a dynamic athlete and blah, blah, blah. It's just a weird, it almost feels like he wants to play the freshman, but he doesn't want to bench Will Rogers.
He definitely wants to play the freshman.
And he wants to build for the future.
You
got to
keep these kids now. That's why I think you see some of this. We talked to Oregon
State.
The whole
thing is weird, man.
Why are they doing this Jabari Johnson?
You know, you don't want him to transfer out.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. Now, some programs don't have to worry about that. And I'm not even saying that is the reason. Maybe they aren't that happy with Will Rogers so far. His first game, he didn't do much. The second game, I think he had four tutties. But I thought he was good in that game. And then they yank him and they bring in the mobile quarterback. So who knows the rhyme and the reason? It's just funny. 3 weeks in, you lose to the Cougars. There's a little bit of smoke, a little upset. You know, some Husky fans, I don't think they would acknowledge that they thought that game would be tight because of the amount of talent they had lost. I think seeing them actually lose was like, what?
Yeah, it's a little bit different when you haven't really lost a regular season game in over 2 years, or basically 2 years it's been since you lost a regular season game.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good to lose to the team that you just left behind in a two-team conference so you can go to the Big Ten, even if it is a year of rebuilding.
A lot of this stuff is kind of the moment, too. They got Northwestern at home, and then they go on the road to Rutgers for a Friday night. So if you win both those games, you're sitting there at 4-1 before Michigan comes to town on the 5th.
Oh, like, their season's not over
yet. You're feeling a little bit different, but yeah. I think when you see those play calls and then the deflecting, if I were a fan, that would rub me the wrong way of, like, just take accountability, whether, again, it's your fault or not, or Rogers had the wrong read or whatever. Somebody missed the block. Like, I haven't gone back and watched the play 15 times, but you have to take accountability at the end of the day, and it seems like he was pointing the finger at others. We didn't execute. They had to do this last year. It's not my fault. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a bad look for a head coach, at least in my mind. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. A ton of football stuff left. Jim Harbaugh talks about this team. Is it Pecan? How do we say it, because one coach talked about it in college football. The mail sack is coming up at 8:15, so get your questions into the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Loaded final hour, don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.